I Our call to worship this evening is taken from Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That lovely calling to come into his presence and to wait upon him, and his promises that he will meet with us there. Let's take up that Psalm 27, is our first psalm of worship. We'll sing together the verses 8 through 14. Psalm 27, verses 8 through to the end of the psalm. We notice here in the psalm that it does speak of a path. In fact, very commonly throughout the scripture, it talks of a way or a path or a road, and all pointing to our Lord and Saviour. In verse 11, O Lord, instruct me in thy way. To me a leader be in a plain path, because of those that hatred bear to me. And he goes on to speak of the Lord's goodness, and finishes with that verse that we had as our call to worship. Let's sing this as our first psalm of worship. Before we sing, let's stand and seek God's face in prayer. Our great, our holy, our infinite God, we thank you that we are able, as tiny little creatures of the dust, to come before you now in this particular way, in the public worship, and that we are able to lift up our voices, to lift up our hands, to lift up our souls to you. To know that we are able to wait upon you because you delight to meet with us in this way. That you have promised in and through your Son that you will strengthen our hearts as we wait upon you. We pray, Lord, draw near unto us. Give unto us a heart that does desire to worship, to give of this hour unto you particularly, to meet with you, to have our hearts stirred and encouraged and blessed in your truth. We pray that you may indeed meet with your people here, with us, as we meet here, but in every other place where your saints draw together in sincerity and in truth to worship you, that you may bless richly by your word and by your spirit. We pray it in and through Jesus Christ, in whom is all of our hope. Amen.
When thou didst say, seek ye my face, then unto thee reply, thus in my heart, above all things thy face, Lord, seek will I. Far from me hide not thou thy face, put not away from me. Thy servant in thy wrath thou hast an helper been to me. O God of my salvation, leave me not, nor forsake. Love me, my parents, but surely the Lord will me uptake. O Lord, instruct me in thy way, to be a leader be. In a plain path, because of those that hatred bear to me. Give me not to mine enemies' will, for witnesses that lie against me risen up and shine.
First reading for this evening is taken from Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll read the whole of this chapter. We notice here that the writer, as it were, is speaking to his son and giving him sound advice, giving him advice with regards to wisdom. And in particular, he's contrasting for him the path or the way of wickedness and evil versus the path of that which is beautiful and good and leads unto the Lord. Very important to see that our life is a pathway, a road. And the question to ask is, which road are we on? For, as we see tonight, there is only one way that leads unto the Father, that leads unto God. And that way is Christ Jesus, our Saviour. With that in mind, let's read this part of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 2, reading from verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Amen. May God bless to us a true and spiritual understanding of his word read unto us. Let's praise God again from his songs. This time we take up Psalm number 17. Psalm number 17, and we'll sing together the verses 3 through 9. Notice once again with me in this psalm, it speaks of the idea of ways and paths and so forth. So particularly verses 4 and 5, as for men's works, I, by the word that from thy lips doth flow, did me preserve out of the paths wherein destroyers go. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those thy paths divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out of the ways of thine. Let's sing these words to his praise, and we remain seated to sing.
Okay. Thou prov'st mine heart, thou bidst me, by night thou didst me try, yet loving vows, for that my mouth shall not sin purpose die. As for men's works, I by the word that from thy lips doth flow did me preserve out of the paths wherein destroyers go. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those I pass divine, so that my footsteps may not slide out of thy ways of thine. I call and have on thee, O God, because thou wilt me hear, that thou mayst hearken to my speech, to me incline thine ear. Thy wondrous loving kindness show, thou that by thy right hand saves them that trust in thee from those that up against them stand. As the apple of the eye me keep, in thy wing shade me close, from moon oppressors compassing me round as deadly foes.
Let's now worship the Lord in congregational prayer. We stand to pray. Our King and our Redeemer, how precious it is to take up your word that you have given us to sing, and to sing there, singing to you first and foremost, but also, we know, singing those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, to encourage one another that we are the apple of your eye, that we, though knowing ourselves to be undeserving sinners, as those who are such unprofitable servants, as those who know of our failings every day and so often in sins that we have confessed unto you so many times before and yet we fall back into them again and again, as those who know that we are unworthy to even have the beautiful name of Christ to be put upon us, as the word of you has told us in your word to even have your name in our foreheads, for you have chosen us. We are unworthy, O Lord, and yet you reassure us with the most tender and loving words that come unto us that we could not dare to believe unless it was that you come by your Spirit and bless these precious words unto us, that we are the apple of your eye, that we are so precious that we are before your face at all times, and that the smile of your countenance is upon us, not because we do wonderful things, not because we do that which earns this in any way, but only because you have chosen to love us, to lay your love upon us, not because we are more than any people, not because we are smarter or better, not because of anything other than your marvelous choice, out of your own good pleasure, to choose a people to yourself, to make them to know of your marvelous grace, that we are recipients of mercy. Those who were dead in our transgressions and sins, those who had no hope of life or communion with God, you have come and rescued with a most powerful and efficacious grace, that we have been brought into the land of the living and had spiritual eyes open and see the glory of our God and the marvel of salvation, all of which is given as a free gift, that through faith, which likewise is given as a gift. It is not of works, not of our works, lest we should boast, lest we should say, I have contributed something to my salvation. Lord, we confess before you tonight, we have contributed nothing. It is all of you. Salvation is of the Lord. And we give you praise and give you thanks for that. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of our Savior, that which we are able to see this morning, that you are indeed the fairest among 10,000. That it is your wonder work of redemption that makes you to shine, Lord, that you are the very Son of God, our Redeemer and King and Shepherd, that you have come and joined yourself to human nature in every way like us, yet without sin. And as the spotless Lamb of God, you have purchased salvation, yea, Lord, through your very life, through your blood, poured out for us, that you have suffered all, that we may never ever suffer the wrath and the punishment of Almighty God, but rather instead that we may receive blessings that are beyond number. Yea, Lord, we receive the rod at times from a loving shepherd, the rod on our back, the wonderful chastisements from a father that loves us as sons and daughters. We thank you for that. We thank you for the chastisements that you send. We pray, Lord, make us to be thankful for even the hard things that come our way. We so easily, Lord, give thanks and are glad when you give to us things that we experience as being joyful, as being a pleasure, as being that which is wonderful. And, oh, Lord, ever make us thankful for those things. But, Lord, teach us also to say along with Job, when you send to us very hard things and painful things and sorrowful things, that we may say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that we may learn, Lord, even those things that we go through at the moment, the things that we suffer together right now as a congregation, and the things that we particularly suffer as individuals, that we may give you thanks. For you are a wise and a good God, and that you never send anything to us except that which is brought to us in your eternal loving kindness. Help us to bless you, and help us to have a heart, therefore, that desires to show forth that thankfulness, to show forth Christ's grace, to reflect the beauty of our Savior, even as we deal with the difficulties that lie in our paths, knowing that this is the path you have chosen for us to go forward unto glory and to receive a most amazing inheritance that once again we do not deserve. We give you thanks for your care of us in so many ways. We rejoice with Margaret Shand having come through that operation on Friday. We thank you that she's been able to return home, and we pray, Lord, be with her, continue to give her healing from the operation that she's experienced. We pray that she may not have too much discomfort, but especially may she know of your wonderful presence with her, for you are the great physician that does indeed meet us in all of our needs, brings the balm of Gilead, which is our Lord and Savior in himself. Each one of us need that healing. We pray that you may bring that healing in whatever way it is that you are pleased to bring it. Lord, your will be done, not necessarily ours. We pray that we may, with a humility of heart, say, Lord, your will be done, and make us to humbly receive these things from your hand. We pray continue to be with our presbytery as it works on various matters in the midst of our denomination, the matters concerning our own congregation here. Give wisdom to those men. May you use these means to bring about your will, that it may be done. Oh Lord, we do pray that this particular matter that's arisen in the midst of the Launceston congregation, that you may give wisdom to the presbytery as it continues to work on that in this week, and that you would indeed be with the decisions that are made, and that you may cause that which is most grievous indeed to work together for our good. We do pray that you may continue to be with us in the midst of our lives. We give you thanks that you show those tokens of blessing. We thank you for that work that Dave and Mia are able to continue to do on their home, and we pray that that may progress well. And we rejoice with Stan and Dot Higgs in the receiving of the keys for their home in this past week, and for very shortly being able to shift into that. We pray that that may be very suitable to them, and that they may enjoy that good gift from your hand. We, Lord, thank you for every good gift that comes down from our Father of lights above, and we pray that as we open your word once again, cause it to be a wondrous gift to our souls, that of our Savior, as we learn more of him this evening. Bless the preacher, that he may speak that which is your word for the blessing of his own soul as well as that of the hearers. And we pray that you may cause us to rejoice in our Lord, our God, and in that salvation which we have received in you. We pray it in our Redeemer's name. Amen. Our second reading is found in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we'll read together the first 21 verses of this chapter. Our text for tonight is found in verse 6, as we look at that, the next in our series of Jesus' I Am statements. John chapter 14, reading from verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Amen. Once again, we give thanks for those beautiful words of the Lord Jesus in that holy and inspired word. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we ask the question, is there only one way to God? Is it that, in fact, there is only one truth, and that all other teachings that purport to be truth are, in fact, if they're not part of that one truth, they are, in fact, lies that lead away from the truth? There are many, sadly, today, even in the broader Christian world, that say that there are many, many ways to God. For example, Oprah Winfrey, who famously, or perhaps you should say infamously, said, "Well, I am a Christian who believes that there are certainly many more paths to God other than Christianity." Or you can look, of course, at the many other faiths and religions that are around in the world today who seem, by the way in which they speak, to be far more inclusive and therefore far more loving than perhaps even Jesus himself, because of the way in which they speak. When they say, like, for example, Rumi, who's one of the great teachers of the Baha'i faith, who says, "There are as many paths to God as there are souls on earth." In other words, every single soul on earth is on their pathway to God, and we're all doing the right thing and everything's okay. But that's not what Jesus says here in John 14, verse 6. And Jesus is the one who speaks the truth. Not only does Jesus say that he is the way, or if you like, the road or path, and we'll look at that in a little while as well, but he also says that he is the only way to God the Father. Do you notice that? He says, "No man comes to the Father but by me." No other way. Follow any other path, says Jesus. Follow any other so-called truth, and you don't come to the Father. You don't come to God. What you come to, rather, is eternal destruction away from God. Now, even in saying that, in this day and age, you'd probably say, "Well, that's terrible. You know, that's hate speech. That's harsh. That's exclusivist. That's condemnatory type teaching." Oh, brethren, it's nothing of the kind, is it, really? This is the beautiful light of the gospel, of the good news, that comes dawning into this dark and horrible world, that calls us to come to the Father through the only way possible that he has provided himself, to come to truth and to come to life. Mankind, of course, by nature, with his rebellious and evil spirit, turns away from that delightful calling. But may it not be that there are any here tonight who turn away from what Jesus says most plainly, most lovingly, most clearly for our souls. Let's take up our text tonight under the theme of Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Consider that under the three headings. First of all, let's look at the fact that there is only that one way to the Father. Secondly, we'll see that that's because Jesus is in fact the truth and the life. And thirdly, that we are to walk in him to glory. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know, brethren, there's little doubt, isn't it, that even the men and women who live in the midst of our world, they know there's something seriously wrong with the world in which we live. They realize that there's something seriously wrong with our society. And that's the reason why you hear so much in the way of complaining and people saying things are not right. As we've seen, even over this last 12 months, we've seen huge amounts of angry demonstrations and protests and complaints. People are saying, everything's wrong, this is terrible, this is unjust, this is unfair, things are being done terribly wrong, things are going wrong. People see and sense and know things are badly wrong. That's true. Governments are rejected or overthrown and criticized because they failed expectations that people have. Our courts are incredibly busy and overflowing and way behind trying to deal with all the crime and wrongdoing that people are doing against one another. And we're also well aware that we get inundated on our telephones and in our email with all the spam of people trying to defraud one another and steal from one another. Our hospitals can't keep up with caring for all the sick and injured. This world, there's some serious problems in it. And then on top of that, along comes good old COVID-19, as we've seen. And everything that seemed to be hanging together falls apart too. Do you know, in spite of all that, mankind keeps on saying and keeps on insisting, he's able to put things to right. To rescue himself, as it were. We're able to do this. Hang in there together. We can do this. So that with COVID-19, he says, not man's science and man's medical research and his economics and his laws and his policing, that's all going to save us from COVID-19. Man says, I'm my savior. This is the pathway. This is the way. More than that, we then have all sorts of other things that are put forward as the pathway, as the way that we are going to get ourselves out of the sense of the horrible mess that we have. So further laws, economic reform, climate rescuing policies, greater education, better financial opportunities for all, wiping out hate speech, pretending that gender doesn't exist at all of these things are the things that are going to save us and bring a better world and make man better. This is what we're told are the paths and the ways. Together, we can do anything we desire, says man. We will defeat our enemies and rise above it all as the great victors. Jesus says, these things are lies. These things are lies. There are not many different ways, not many different paths to salvation, to betterment, to the ultimate good, because as soon as you start talking about the ultimate good, there is only one ultimate good, isn't it? And that is God. There are not many ways and paths to that. If there is any teaching, if there is any philosophy, any solution that does not have Jesus Christ at its center and its foundation, then it's false in its entirety, or at least in part, which means that it will utterly fail. In our text, Jesus declares he is the only way. We've been seeing, haven't we, with every one of these I am statements, that as Jesus says this, he is certainly declaring that he is divine. He is saying, I am the great I am, the Jehovah. We know that to be the case. But we've also been seeing that when Jesus says, I am one of these things, he is saying that he alone is that thing. So here, Jesus declares that he and he alone is the way. That word way, as it occurs here in our New Testament, it has the idea of a road, a pathway down which you travel and go. So Jesus is saying, I'm the road, I'm the pathway, or the way. Jesus is therefore the only real road, the real pathway down which we must pass. But more specifically, he tells us more about that pathway. He says, no man comes to the Father but by me, as the way, the road. And therefore, the only pathway down which one may pass in order to come to the Father, in order to come to God, is Jesus Christ alone and no one else. You know, that tells us a few different things, doesn't it? First of all, it tells us that that's where we need to be. We need to be with God. God is the creator of all things. God is all good. God is all beauty and truth and life. And there is no beauty or truth or life or goodness in any other thing apart from him. He is the creator of everything else that exists, and it exists for his glory, and it all points back to him as the source of that. Mankind was created to be in perfect, living, loving relationship with the living God in a beautiful way of knowing him and serving him and being obedient to him and receiving a fullness of delight in that way. What have we done? Mankind's forfeited that. In his horrible rebellion, sin turns its back away from the only source of goodness and life. And in man's wretched rebellion and sin, he has forfeited that relationship. And now man exists in an estate of sin and misery, as our catechism puts it. Sin and misery. Mankind knows all about the misery, and he doesn't like it very much, but he refuses to see it because of his sin. And he just wants to get out of the misery. But what we need, therefore, is a road, a pathway, to travel back from the state of sin and misery and to come to God, to come to him in whom is all life and with whom we are to have, must have, that right communion, fellowship and relationship in perfect righteousness and holiness and delight to love and serve him. Without that pathway, without that road back to God, then we have an existence, that's true, but that existence has no meaning and no real life and no hope. Jesus is the only way. But furthermore, remember that these I am statements also indicate to us that Jesus is saying, I am this personally. So Jesus says, I am the way. He's not saying, I can show you the way. It's over there. But he's saying, I, me, in my very being, am the way. I am the road. I am the pathway. And that means that no man and no woman can actually come to God by simply, as it were, knowing a little bit about Jesus. Or knowing a little bit about Jesus' teachings. Or, as it were, looking at Jesus' life and saying, I'm going to see if I can live my life a little bit like Jesus lived his life. And you see, there you go. You've got a road and a pathway. And Jesus says, no, I am the way personally. Jesus is personally the way, which means to walk in the way, to walk in the road that leads to being reconciled to God the Father, and to have life, peace, hope, joy, is by being joined to Jesus Christ. To know Him by faith. It is to come to a loving knowledge of Him. It is to cast ourselves upon Him and to cling to Him and to have an assurance that He is the only way. By knowing Him and loving Him and walking with Him and growing in Him, to be in Christ and to have Christ in us. It's Him personally. To have that living faith in Him. What's the reason for that? Well, the reason for that is because He is the truth and the life. There's something important to see here about what Jesus says. It's important in the expression as it exists here, and the way in which the Holy Spirit has therefore caused it to be recorded here. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But as Jesus says this, we ought not to understand that Jesus is saying, look, I am 1, 2, and 3. In other words, Jesus is not simply saying, I am the way, and by the way, I'm also the truth, and by the way, I'm also the life. No, that's not the way in which this is set up. What this is saying is this. Jesus says, I am the way, even the truth and the life. Or if you like, I am the way because I am the truth and because I am the life. And therefore, it is only by understanding and believing by God's grace that Jesus is Himself alone and personally the truth, and that Jesus is alone and personally the life, that we may then be in Him as the way and come to the Father. So let's look at those things then. First of all, Jesus says, I am the truth. He personally is that truth, and He alone. Do we grasp the wonder of this when Jesus says, I am the truth, the one truth, and outside of this truth there is no truth? Outside of Jesus there is no truth in this world, because He is the truth. Do we understand that Jesus is in fact the very reason for the whole history of the whole of this universe, and every place and every time and every event? At the beginning of the Gospel of John, do you see what John begins with? In the beginning, and that reflects going right back to Genesis 1:1, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it tells us there at the beginning of John 1 also that there was not anything made that was made. It's not made without Jesus Christ. Jesus is the creator as well, that God, in and through Jesus Christ, created this world, brought everything into existence through Him. And not only that then, but as soon as Adam and Eve had fallen from that estate very quickly, what's the very first thing that God reveals of the beauty of what He is doing as they stand in the garden there with Satan, and God speaks to Satan, and He says, I'm sending the Redeemer, the seed of the woman, who will come and crush the head of Satan and turn all of this around. And so everything else that flows from there for the next 4,000 years of history moving through to the coming of Christ is all about the coming of the Son of God, who would be the Redeemer of the world. And so then, 2,000 years ago, then came about the central point in history where the divine God, the creator and upholder of all things, came in the incarnation. God joined to man, to flesh, a mystery that's beyond our understanding. And here, upon this earth, God became man and was born of a woman and lived amongst us. And we beheld his glory as of the only glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what Pastor Higgs quoted to us this morning, wasn't it? And he lived amongst us. And he taught this beautiful truth. And here, this part of this chapter, chapter 14, is Jesus teaching the truth to his disciples, teaching his truth to us. And then he went on our behalf and hung upon the cross, strung up between heaven and earth, and the whole earth shook at his death. This is the earth-shaking, history-shaking middle point of the whole history of time. It's found in the truth of Jesus, the only Savior of mankind, the only way to the Father. And he died, rose again from the dead, defeating death and sin in the grave, and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, and he rules over all, and he continues to thunder forth. And that's what all of this part of history is about, until he comes again on the clouds of heaven. Is the white horse thundering forth, conquering and to conquer. The gospel is being spread forth. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, when the gospel has gone into every nation, then shall the end come. It's all about Christ's gospel right now. And everything that's happening in the world is serving that one truth. The purpose of Jesus to gather the rest of his sheep to himself. And as soon as that finishes, then he will appear on the clouds of heaven and every eye shall see him. And all will confess that Jesus is Lord, the truth. Nothing in this world makes any sense without him. And there is no understanding of life, and there is no understanding of salvation, and there is no understanding of anything that we are to be about, except it is found in him. That truth of Christ is found in all of the scripture, found in all the pages of this word. And the more we grow into this, and the more we have this truth soak into our souls, the more we will know of the way of him who is that most marvelous truth, and we will come to more and more of that communion with the Father. We come to the Father in the way of Jesus, who is the truth. This is the beauty of Jesus being the way, because he is the truth. But Jesus is not only the truth, we learn that he's also the life. Once again, from these I am statements, as we've been seeing, Jesus is therefore the only life, and he personally is the life. Without Jesus, without actually believing in him, without being joined to him, and in and through all that truth coming to him more and more, then we cannot have life. We only have death. There's only a lack of life. And that doesn't mean that you can't have many different activities in this life. Yeah, for sure. In this existence here upon this world, there are many paths to follow. We read of that in Proverbs chapter 2, didn't we? There are lots of paths of evil men. There are lots of ways of the wicked. There are lots of ways that we can follow, whether it be it talks about the temptations of the evil woman, or men who want to go off after these evil ways. There are lots of paths that we can follow, lots of activities that you can go down, but none of them have any life. There's no life. It sparkles with the promise of life. That's Satan's wonderful lies. He's really, really good at that. Saying, this is where you'll really find fulfillment. This is what will make you feel great. Come and do this. Come and do that. Every which way other than our Savior. To truly live with him. Or every other pathway without Christ being at the center and the reason for them will be but emptiness and vanity. In contrast, Jesus is life indeed. If he is the life, Have you contemplated what that means? If he is the life, then it is by faith as we come to truly know him and be in relationship to him through all the truths of the scripture, then we will have life more and more and more. You see, then it doesn't matter whether I have this thing or I do not have this thing. It doesn't matter whether I have some other significant person in my life and I'm married or whatever, or I'm not. It doesn't matter whether I gain this real experience that I want or I don't. None of those things matter. What matters is, do I have Christ? And if I have him, then I have life in its fullness. The constant lie that's fed to us in the society that we live in, the Western society, is it's only if you get this particular product, then you'll be like this person who has this big smile on their face because they've got this product. And we'd start to believe it. So when I've got that, then I'll be happy. No, it's not. No, it's when we start to wake up as to what God has given us in our Saviour. Then we will have life indeed. Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Notice that he's saying this to his people. I have come that they might have life. And he's saying that even to the believer that lives in the midst of Malawi, wondering where their next meal is going to come from and having no possessions. He says that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life, Jesus says. I've come that they might have that. That abundant life is found in knowing that we are restored to the right relationship with our God. Already in principle, that is already had by faith, by believing in Christ and in him being the way of salvation and believing the truth that God speaks to us in his word, then we're restored to life by having our sins forgiven and that we are adopted into the family of God. We're brought out of the horror of being condemned by God to being brought to be under the smiling face of the Father. And we're brought to know God and to desire no longer to live for ourselves, but to live for him who gave himself for us. Hence Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. That's my old, rotten, mortal, fleshly self. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How can I live if I've been crucified? It's in this way. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. There's my life. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That covenant life of glad obedience and delighted service opens up before us. Life indeed. And then we walk in him. We walk in him to glory. Brethren, there's something important I want you to consider here about this word way. Remember, I've already said to you that this word way means road or pathway. Now, what does that necessarily imply? Well, a road implies that there's an activity that goes on it, that there are travellers on that road, that they're there and they're putting an activity and effort to go along that road to get somewhere. That's what a road implies. A road is not there for aesthetic appeal. You don't walk out the front of your house and say, oh, that's a lovely road. A road is a functional thing. That's what it's there. And it's meant to be used as a functional thing. A road also implies that there's progress along that pathway. It is for the purpose of going somewhere. And as time passes, there's to be a progress forward and making a difference to where we are in life. You didn't come to church tonight by going out and standing in the middle of the road for the next half hour and going, are we there yet? Yeah. Not at all. You see, it's exactly the same when Jesus tells us He is the way. And that's the important thing to see in our Christian life as well. You see, Jesus is the way. If you like to put it in theological terms, in our justification, yes, but also in our sanctification and in our glorification. Now unpack that. Let's take away the theological terms and talk about it in more plain terms. You see, if Jesus was simply and only the way to have my sins forgiven at that time when I first believed and my sins are forgiven and His righteousness is put upon me and that's it. Well, a pretty short road, really, isn't it? Sort of, God tells us it's an act. Justification is an act of God's free grace, and it's done. Well, there's nowhere to go. I've finished, and I just stand here twiddling my thumbs and waiting to go to heaven. No, Jesus is the way. This is a road. This is something that implies progress and moving and going forward and much effort that is to be put into that. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Our salvation is the whole of our life, to be sure. When we are put in our Father's hands by the powerful work of the Spirit and we are made right, there's the basis, and we never forget about our justification. It is, in fact, the joy of our heart and the strength of our soul. But we are being continually saved in the way, in the whole of our life. It's in Jesus and who He is. So that, having been set in the way, personally in Christ, by the work of the Spirit, we are now involved in a whole being activity every day of being saved, being sanctified, growing more and more into the truth and the life. Jesus is that activity every day of growth and change. It's actually in waking up every morning and knowing how much I need Him and to be in Him and to walk in Him and to grow in Him, to know His truth and to know His life. He is continuously at work. That's what He was speaking about in the chapter about His work. He is powerfully and graciously at work to enlighten our minds, to turn us from sin, to transform us by the renewing of our minds, to cause us to more and more delight in Him, in loving Him. As He says in this chapter, by obeying His commands, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And he that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. This is the way of loving God. It's to learn to more and more walk with Him in the way He calls me to be more and more like Him. Brethren, Jesus is the way. So are you being changed? That's a good thing. Jesus doesn't make your pathway easy. He makes it exactly the way it needs to be for your growth in Him, to be going forward. Is there, on your part, an effort, an activity, a walking in that road to delight in Him more and more? Is there progress in the Christian life? Do you truly know Jesus as the way, the pathway? Because He is the truth and the life. Is His truth, the whole of the Scripture, being more and more settled into your soul and causing you to be changed in your thinking and your speaking and your feeling and your living? Because that's His purpose, to bring you more and more to the Father. And of course, that's the other implication of the road too, isn't it? It's not just that this is a progress and an activity, but it also implies a destination. You head out of here and, you know, you head down the Centenary Highway and off onto Ipswich Road, then, well, there it is, Ipswich Road. It heads to Ipswich, doesn't it? Or you can head off to the other highways. Maybe you go to Warwick. Maybe you go to Toowoomba out that way. But there's a destination involved. That's what a road is about. It takes you somewhere. And that's what Jesus is saying here too, isn't it? I am the way. And no man comes to the Father. There's the destination. Not only are we to be full of life and vibrancy in the truth that Christ is revealing to us more and more, and we're to be active in that life that he's given to us, but we're to be clear about where we're going. To the Father. That's always our desire. That ought to be, you know, people make their goals in life. Oh, I want a, you know, 5-year goal. And well, there ought to be one goal of the Christian. I am going to my Father. And everything else is subservient to that. I'm going to my Father. I'm going home in the way, because he's the truth and the life. It's to enter into the fullest communion and friendship and delighted obedience to the living God. In Ephesians 4, we read that Jesus has given gifts to his church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what's all that for? Till, and that's talking about destination, okay, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the purpose, to make us spotless and without wrinkle in Christ Jesus, to be like him and to be in the bosom of the Father like he is. That's his purpose. And together, you see, that's the work that God does for us together, is his church, and supporting and loving one another in this. We are aiming to have that unity of the faith, the truth in him. We are to become the true humanity. Already we know what it's like in some small measure, and it's small, to reflect our Saviour as we have life and communion with our Father. But there still lies before us much journeying. But we are in the way. And we have the truth and the life. Until we come to that perfection in heaven. And that is our destination, isn't it? Of course, when we do reach that destination, that goal in glory, it will be forever our delight to know the truth and the life. And to be growing in those things. That covenant relationship which God established in eternity with every one of his people will come to the highest manifestation. We'll have come to the Father by the power of the Spirit in the way of Jesus Christ, the wonderful triune God, worked out his marvelous salvation. And we will be the amazed recipients of all of those things. We will forever enter more and more into the truth and the life of an infinite and an infinitely loving God. Brethren, may we now walk in and delight in the way and the truth and the life. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we give you thanks for our Saviour. For as we work our way through these I am statements, we see more and more of his glory, of the infinite beauty of our Saviour, and that he is our all in all. Bless to us these things that we have considered this evening. May we more and more walk in the way that is Jesus personally and alone. And that because he is the truth and the life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our final psalm is psalm number 25. Psalm 25, and singing together the verses 8 through 14. Sorry, the first version of the psalm as we normally sing. Psalm 25 and verses 8 through 14. Notice once again with me the times that it speaks of the paths of the Lord. In verse 8 and 9, God, good and upright is the way he'll sinners show. The meek in judgment he will guide and make his path to know. And it goes on to speak of the blessings, therefore, that come out of the walking in the path and the way, which is Christ our Lord. Let's sing these words to the praise of our God, and then we'll close with the benediction.
God good and upright is, the way He'll sinners show. The meek in judgment He will guide, and make His path to know. The hope of the Lord, the truth and mercy show. To those that do His covenant keep, and test Him on His pure. Now for Thine own name's sake, O Lord, I Thee entreat, to pardon mine iniquity, for it is very great. What man is he that fears the Lord and doth Him serve? Him shall He teach the way that he shall choose and still observe. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his posterity shall flourish still, and of the earth inheritors shall be. With those that fear Him is the secret of the Lord, the knowledge of His covenant He will to them afford.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Why'd you rattle?